So in the process of trying to break up the fight, at least the boys were more concerned then about me. Because it really, yeah, I mean, it just about put me down on the floor because they were saving for big boys. And of course they were right away, "Oh, Miss Harrison, are you okay? Did we hurt you? Are you all right?" You know, they were all kind of, they were both hovering over me. And the knife was forgotten, and by then somebody had come from the office, so we got it all settled. Of course, they did suspend the boys for fighting and for having a switchblade, but the switchblade wasn't really that unusual. They all carried, most of them carried weapons, and they didn't carry guns, but it was usually a knife, and the switchblade was the big thing back then. And it was very, very frightening, I remember.
Okay, you mentioned your father being a wandering type and maybe not being the best father. You want to elaborate on that? What do you mean? Best did he?
Well, he was too restless, I think, to really settle down with roots. He liked to roam. He liked to say he couldn't hold a job, so he wasn't a good financial supporter of the family. And he drank, and he liked to go out and my mother, of course, she never did, because back then teachers had very strict rules. There were certain things they couldn't do. They couldn't be seen drinking in public. They couldn't, they had to dress appropriately, even if they were off duty, you know, they weren't teaching. If they were seen in town, say with shorts or something on, this was really bad. So my mother was very, very strict, you know, about things she could do and she couldn't do. And my father did like to go out. He liked to go out to clubs, and so he did. He just went without her. And I'm sure, you know, danced with other women and whatever. And he was seldom home. I don't remember him really being home a lot when we were children. He would sort of come and go. He would be gone for long periods. Maybe he would be working on a construction job somewhere for the summer, and he'd be gone for a summer. And he usually, whenever he came back, he was broke. I remember that. He would come back with no money.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would, of course, be wanting my mother, you know. Hey, don't you have some money? And, mm-hmm. You know, wanted money from her.
Right.
And she was trying to, you know, support two children and keep a household running and keep food on the table. And it was depression time, and she had been taught for several months without even getting paid, because this was a small little town, and there wasn't a lot of money to support the school.
Mm-hmm.
So there were times when we probably wouldn't have survived as well as we did had it not been for my grandparents who had a farm. And at least we had food.
Mm-hmm.
So we could, we always had butter and milk and eggs, and of course they butchered. They had, you know, pigs and cattle, and so we were okay food-wise because of my grandparents. But other things like clothes, luxuries,
just a little louder on this.
Oh, okay. Well, the clock's chiming. Okay. I was wondering what you had. My goodness, is the ceiling falling down?
No.
Okay.
Well, that's
but that's why I say he probably wasn't the best for a family man. He they stayed together, of course, back then too. You know, divorce was more frowned upon, and especially from my mother's point of view, because she was a very steady, you know, okay, we're married, we've got to stay married for the sake of the children, which, you know, as far as we were concerned, we probably would have been as well off if she hadn't been married to him.
Right.
But this was something she felt she had to do. And they stayed together until he passed away. And in their later years, they did get along better after. Of course, we went through school. My father was not in favor of my sister and I going to college. He didn't like that. But he didn't finance any of our college. He didn't pay for not one boot, not one piece of tuition or anything. He made no contribution to either of us going to school. My mother did, and then we worked to get there. But later years after we were out of the household, and then they traveled, and he did like to travel. He was a roamer, restless. He loved to go places. So they made a couple of trips to Europe, and they went to Hawaii twice. They went all across the United States, west. They went all through Western Canada.
All on a teacher salary?
Uh-huh. They would do this. See, my mother, she was very saving. And she saved. She didn't spend. You know, she was a big, you know, coupon shopper. And she made good. She made pretty good salary. This was after my sister and I were out, because she'd been teaching by then, you know, I say she taught for 37 years, so she had a pretty good income, and they had pretty good raises in Pennsylvania too, so she was making quite a good income.
Why did you decide to go into teaching? Just because your mother
was a
teacher?
Mainly because my mother was. It was just sort of understood when, from the time we were very small, she would just say, you know, well, y'all are going to be teachers, and it was just a thing we didn't even discuss. We didn't talk about it. We left high school. We went to Mansfield, and mm-hmm. it was just the next step. Okay, you're out of high school now. We'll go register you for college. And at that point, there weren't any, I don't know, we weren't really given any other choices. And I left kind of a sheltered life because our high school was small. I didn't really know what job opportunities were there. But I wish that I would have really liked to have done something in journalism if mm-hmm. I'd have known now what I knew then, but it just wasn't anything that was ever talked about or discussed or whatever, you know. It was just, y'all are going to be teachers. So
right.
we thought, well, that's good, you know, we'll do that.
What?
And there were advantages, as she'd point out. She said, it's nice because you have your summers free, and even for married women that have children, you have the same hours as your children if you're teaching like an elementary school. So you know, it's a pretty good job for a woman, and it was a good job for a woman back then when my mother was teaching. And when I started too, it was just a pretty good, I think it had, I started in elementary school, I may have liked it better too.
Why did you decide to get out?
Oh, it was just, I don't know.
Did you hate teaching, or you just wouldn't?
I pretty well did hate it, yeah. I just didn't really like it very much.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to try something else. I thought, well, rather than stay in a career that I don't like, you know, I'll see what else is out there. So when I came here, I thought, I'm making the change anyway, so I might as well just go all the way. I'm changing locales. I'll just go ahead and throw my name in the employment office and see what happens. And that's basically what I did. I just put my name in the employment office, and I came down. I was here for about a week to see my sister, and when I no more than got home, I just got back to Pennsylvania, and my sister called, and she said, you have a card here from the employment office, and they need a social worker at the Pension Security Department, and you qualify, and you need to take a civil service exam. This was like on a Tuesday, and I just gotten home like on a Sunday, so I didn't even unpack my car. I just got back in the car, and I drove from Pennsylvania back to Alabama, got here like on a Monday. I took the civil service exam, passed it, had my interview for pension security, social worker, and I really thought I'd like that. At that point, I thought, gee, this would be good, you know, social work, I think I'd like that. And then, in the meanwhile, the Girl Scout lady, Hazel Rowe, was Girl Scout executive director at that point. She had been to the employment office, too, and she found my name, and she called me. And this was after I'd taken the test and everything and had the interview for pension security. And I was sort of making, I said, well, I'll make mine, I'll let you know like tomorrow. And she called and said, you don't want to work for pension security. She said, the director there, Margaret Copeland, is my very good friend. We've already discussed you. She wants you to work for her, and I want you to work for me. But she said, pension security is very dreary. You find you're going to be working with very sad people. You're going to be working with people that have many problems. And she said, Girl Scout is a really fun job. She said, you're working with the best people in the community. You're working with the community leaders. You're going to work with people that are interested in their children, people that are trying to do something good, you know, trying to teach them something.
Right.
And she said, maybe, you know, your experience as a teacher, this, you know, it'd be very nice. And she was right. I really did. I just really enjoyed it. Had I not gotten married, I probably would have been with Girl Scouting yet, because I did like it.
What specifically did you not like about teaching?
Mainly the discipline problems, because I'm not a strong, aggressive person. I'm sort of a rather calm person. I don't like adversity. I don't like yelling and screaming, probably because my father was a yelling, screaming type person too. And I just am very uncomfortable when I'm with a lot of that sort of thing. And in the schools that I taught, there was just so much of it. You'd walk in the hall and it was just, you know, yelling, hollering, screaming. It was in the parking lot, you know, all the noise and the blasting. It was, you couldn't really teach in the classroom because you had to discipline so much. And students, and I don't think it's probably that much different now than then, but students would tend to, you know, try the teacher, try to do anything just to see how far they could drive and crazy. I think, you know, they'd, oh, well, let's see if we can get this one down, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think they sort of tend, especially in high school, this isn't not saying elementary school, I probably would have been all right. But personality-wise, I just was not ready to deal with high school, and I was too young. See, I started school when I was 5, mainly because my mother was the teacher, and I wasn't old enough to go to school. My sister started school, and she was having trouble finding babysitters for me because I wanted to go to school like everybody else. My sister went, my mother went, and I didn't want to stay home, so I'd run away from home all the time to go to school. And one day, I was just there outside the window and looking in, pressing my old face against the window, and she looked out and she said, "Okay, you're starting school today." So she enrolled me. And I was quite young. I was barely 5 when I started first grade, so I was quite young when I finished college. And I was maybe 20 when I started teaching, so I just wasn't old enough to deal with the school I was teaching in. I went right directly into the very large school system from a little bitty town. You know, here I am thrown in to the pack of wolves, you know, more or less. And I was not prepared. I was very idealistic. I thought, oh, teaching, you know, it's going to be great. I can win there. I've got all this college education behind me. You know, after you leave college, if you know quite a bit. And I thought even, you know, the social, even though I was a small college too, but I felt, you know, I sort of had some social adjustments. I had some opportunities. So I was really prepared to go and have a really good time teaching. But I just didn't want to deal with it all. I stayed there for 6 years, and I'm really amazed I stayed that long.
Okay. You
kind of look back at it.
You talk about you want to maybe try a career in journalism, and I know you write some on the side. Tell me a little bit about what you write and why you write and what you've written. Just tell me a little bit about it.
Well, I always did like to write. And looking back, I still have a book of poems that I wrote when I was 9 years old. My mother saved them because back then, say when I grew up, we didn't have television. We did have a radio. There was very little. Children had to use their imaginations, I think, to come up with things. We'd invent games because we didn't have planned activities. We didn't have a group of adults saying, okay, at 5 o'clock you do this, at 6 o'clock we'll go to the ballet lesson, and we're going to go to the scout meeting. Now we've got the Little League baseball coming up, here's softball, you know, right into basketball.
Right.
We didn't have any of that. So we had to, and it was nice. I mean, I enjoyed my life. I like my childhood, but I did things. My love was to curl up someplace in a nice warm little corner with my little book and my pencil, and I'd write poems. They were all happy little poems. They're always about nature, the birds and the bees and the butterfly. They were kind of stupid little poems, but I liked to do it. And
you still got that book?
Oh, I still got it. My mother saved it. I'd write poems about Christmas. Every season there was a poem in the little book. You know, there was a Halloween poem in there and a Christmas poem. And a trip to town, this is a big deal. We'd get in the car and we'd drive to the neighboring town where they had more than one store, and that was a big event. And to get to go to the movie and see Hopalong Cassidy or the Lone Ranger, that was a lot of fun. But anyway, I just liked to ride. And then in high school, I can remember it was the strangest thing because I loved reading. And we didn't have a lot of books. My mother taught, but books then were a luxury to buy books. We had school books, but you just didn't. We didn't have bookstores, so you could just go like we do now. You know, there's just books everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a school library that was very small, and it was donated books, and the books were old. And the school I went to, they didn't even have the books put on shelves. They were just boxes of books in a room. And every time, I sometimes skipped class. Sometimes I thought I could get away with that. I'd run out of class, but they always knew where to find me. I'd be in that room with the books. And I'd be there ruffling through old books, reading something, or trying to find a good book to read because I just got too bored in math or something. So I thought, well, I'll just slide in here and read a book. And I love to read. I always did like to read. And then I had it. Thank goodness I had an English teacher when I was in ninth grade that picked up on the fact that I did like this was the thing I liked to do. And he lived in the larger town than I did, so he would bring me books from the library, and he'd sign them out in his name, and he'd pick books that he thought I would like, and I thought that was just the greatest thing, and I read every one of them. He'd get me 2 or 3 books a week, and boy, I was just eating those books up. I liked them, and I did that through school, and then every little contest I would enter, and I'd usually win. I know the first one, in fact, this was the same English teacher, and he said, there's a contest on good citizenship. This is where I got my scholarship to Penn State Science. I'm writing. And he said, you know, let's we had the whole class. He said, everybody in the class, y'all write. We may not submit all the letters, but I want to see what you're going to write. So, and I always put all my effort to anything like that because I liked it. I went, oh, I can remember. I didn't get any help. My mother was the kind that said, I teach school all day. So I don't, you know, she didn't help us with homework. At the end of the school day, we were on our own as far as schoolwork because she didn't help us. Like, I know I helped my daughter, and my sister helped her two boys through sitting at the table for hours trying to help with homework, but this didn't happen when I was a child. And her reason was, I've had school all day, you do your own homework, you know, so I do.